Well, welcome to all of you, those who could make it. I think we have a little bit smaller crowd this week just because we've had an unwelcome visitor in the community. I think most of you know who that is. Anyway, my name is Zach Miller. I'm deacons. I am a disciple, and we are all disciples. One of the deacons here, and so if you're new, welcome to our church as we celebrate this morning, as we open the Word here a little bit, and then we will invite the worship team up, and we will worship together. You know, Christmas is a special time of year. There's a lot of preparation that goes into Christmas. Many of us grew up with all the preparations that go with the holiday. All the way from the Christmas card, all the way to the dinners that are prepared and the gifts. It's a lot of fun, and especially as we get older, I think we find ourselves as adults doing this to create memories for our children, and to create something for them, really as a reflection of what God has done for us and the gift that He has shown to us. I was reading a little bit, a few days ago, and in Isaiah, and a couple things caught my eye. Reading chapter 9, I'm just going to start. I'll just start at verse 1. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is in distress, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her. By the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And then it goes on from there that the title of the next section of the chapter is called The Punishment of Samaria. But what caught my eye is just the very first part there, where right before that well-known section of Scripture that I just read, for unto us a child is born. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. Oh, man, that is very descriptive. I mean, okay, that's descriptive of a different time. They're talking about using garments from a battle as fuel. I think they're talking about peace that will come, but I wonder if that's not reflective of a little bit of the time that they were living in. You know, sometimes we look at our time today and we know that we're free. We know that we're blessed in so many ways, but you know, the reality is there oppression today? Is there fear today? Is there things that we would desire to be free of in our world? And I think there are. You know, the Jewish people, they were living under an oppressive form of government through the Romans. They were living under an oppressive time, which I believe is even more oppressive than what we live in now. But they were looking for their Savior. They were looking for the birth of the one that was going to deliver them. But they were a people under oppression. You know, it felt like this week, a little bit, to be honest with you, it kind of felt a little bit oppressive to myself. Having this flu strain or whatever it is floating around. And, you know, it was a good week to be sick because we were already kind of planning to take most of the week off and whatnot from school. You know, after about 4 or 5 days of it, I started getting a little grumpy. And no sunshine outside, and it feels like you've been living in a fog cloud for 9 days. And yeah, it just starts eating on you, you know. And I think maybe that's part of the reason we all got sick is because we haven't had any sun for 2 weeks. But, you know, I think a prayer was answered 2 days ago. Or was it yesterday? Yesterday, when that sun came out. That was a blessing. And I think some of you agree that, you know, when we don't see the sun for a while, it is still there. It's just, it's being obscured. So, you know, even with that feeling, looking at that, I think, you know, my life is pretty blessed. Even with a little bit of sickness here or there, I think most of us could say that we're blessed. We really don't feel a lot of oppression. I could argue there's a fair bit of oppression going on in our world, and there are things, but we're not here to talk about that. But Jesus came as a baby to a people that were oppressed, as I believe he's coming. He came for us as well, even in our, what we feel might be oppression at times. You know, just a spotlight, not to dwell on the negative, but if we realistically look, you know, right now, you look around the world, you think, well, look at the country of Ukraine. I wonder if they feel a little bit oppressed. Maybe not by a neighboring government as much as the loss of, I believe it's hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian young men that were lost. Now, our government probably wouldn't say that. They would downcast those numbers, but I've heard numbers as high as like 400,000 that have been lost. We don't even think about that. We're over here, we're just kind of like, well, it's not here, but can you imagine that, right? That they might be feeling some oppression there. What about those that live in Gaza that are having their lands and their homes riddled, right? And all of a sudden there's a new landscape of craters because of conflict that's going on. You know, if you listen to some analysts, they their predictions that we're as close as we've ever been to another world war, just in the geopolitical state of our country. Now, I don't live in a lot of fear of that. I don't think most of us do, but the reality is if you look at what's going on in the Middle East, there's a plethora of situations that could happen that could go wrong that could put us there. So there is oppression. There are things going on in our day today, just like there were back in the days when Christ came. But you know what? He still came. And I believe that if he hadn't come yet, he would still come even in our world today. He came for people that were under oppression. He came for people that were fighting with addiction, fighting with sin, fighting with hopelessness, fighting with poverty. That's why we celebrate him today, because of what he is doing. You know, I heard it said one time as describing the Passover, when the men of the Jewish homes were applying the blood to the doorposts for the Passover that was to come. And I heard it described as there were two families. One family where the father was painting the blood over the doorpost. And the young son said, "Daddy, Are we going to be saved? Are we going to be spared? And the father said, yes, we are applying the blood to the doorpost. We will be spared. We will be saved. There was another family within the nation across the town, a ways away. And it was a father applying the blood to the doorpost with a hand that was trembling. And his young son said, Daddy, are we going to be okay? Are we going to be spared? And the father said, I don't know, son. I don't know. But we're putting the blood on the doorpost. And then the question came, which family would be spared of those families? And the answer is both families would be spared because the blood was applied. One had a confidence in their Savior. One had a confidence in the blood. The other one did not have near the confidence, but the blood was still applied. I think today that could be for us. You know, we could be in here today and things are good and we're confident this season. And it's another Christmas. It's great. We love it. And we're confident in our salvation. But then there might be some of us that are struggling. You know, there might be some in here that, I don't know, maybe had an argument with your wife on the way to church. And you're like, I don't even feel like a Christian. But you know, the blood was still applied for you. Jesus came. He came down for us, all of us. I want to wrap this up. I want to read a prayer. Why don't we go ahead and stand? I'll invite the worship team up, and I'm gonna read through this. This is actually a prayer called St. Patrick's Breastplate Prayer. And I know we're not Catholic in here, but this prayer is full of the Word of God. And actually, a family friend of ours came over, and she recently recited it, had it all in memory. And it looks like this prayer was written about 433 A.D., when St. Patrick, he was asked to go to the Irish king to share the gospel. And apparently something had got out that this king had put a hit on St. Patrick. Well, obviously it didn't work, but he went and he ministered to the king and apparently helped bring a lot of the Irish back to the gospel. And so I just want to read this, but I welcome you. Maybe close your eyes. Just listen to these words. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. I arise today through the strength of Christ with his baptism, through the strength of his crucifixion with his burial, through the strength of his resurrection with his ascension, through the strength of his descent for the judgment of doom. I arise today through the strength of the love of cherubim in obedience of angels, in the service of the archangels, in hope of resurrection to meet with reward, in prayers of patriarchs, in predictions of prophets, in preaching of apostles, in faith of confessors, in innocence of holy virgins, in deeds of righteous men. I arise today through the strength of heaven, light of sun, brilliance of moon, splendor of fire, speed of lightning, swiftness of wind, depth of sea, stability of earth, firmness of rock. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's hand to guard me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to protect me, God's host to secure me against snares of demons, against temptations of vices, against inclinations of nature, against everyone who shall wish me ill, afar and anear, alone and in multitude. I summon today all these powers between me and these evils, against every cruel and merciless power that may oppose my body and my soul, against incantations of false prophets, against black laws of heathenry, against false laws of heretics, against craft of idolatry, against spells of witches and smiths and wizards, against every knowledge that endangers man's body and soul. Christ, to protect me today against poison, against burnings, against drowning, against wounding, so that there may be an abundance of reward. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me. Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ in breadth, Christ in length, Christ in height, Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of every man who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through beliefs in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of Christ. May your salvation, O Lord, be ever with us.
Let's worship.
The stars in the sky look down.
Thank you, Jesus, for today and tomorrow and our celebration of you coming as a baby so that you could eventually die on the cross and set us all free. I pray that we would have a good rest of our service. And all God's people said, amen.
All right, Father, we just thank you now for Jason. Thank you for the word that you have through him. And Lord, may you be a strength as you, Lord, share what you would have us to hear this morning. We thank you for this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Would you join me in praying for all the ones that are still sick? Because I know there's a lot of them. So let's pray for them. Father, thank you for your healing hand. And I just pray for all the ones that are still not feeling well. I pray you touch their bodies and keep the ones healthy that are not sick. Thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. I have been fighting it also, as you can tell in my voice, but my voice being gone is not totally uncommon, so that's just the way life is. Merry Christmas. Tomorrow, we celebrate Christ's birth, the most important birth of all time. An event that was foretold many times throughout history. Something that the entire world was anticipating. It's been foretold many, many times in the Old Testament. When they read through the prophets were foretelling of Jesus' birth, of the Messiah's birth that was to come. And so it's something that was looked forward to for years and years and years. A couple of Old Testament scriptures that I'd like to read. The first one being Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. It says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are a little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth." The promise of a coming Messiah, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. I think Zach touched on this morning. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. For unto us a child is born." If you look at the names that describe who this child is going to be, they're pretty incredible. Ooh. Wonderful Counselor is characterized by extraordinary wisdom. Everlasting Father, he will have life that is never ending. Prince of Peace, he's going to bring the peace that we all anticipate and long for. Mighty God is not referring to any other human. Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. This is how the prophet Isaiah is describing the coming Messiah. And this is what we are celebrating this season. Sorry, I'm going to try not to do that into the mic. There's a couple different places. I'm going to read Luke chapter 2 like I normally always do. But if you look in the first chapter of Matthew, it has a genealogy, and it takes us from Abraham to David, from David to Jesus, fulfilling all the prophecies of Jesus, the Messiah being a descendant of David. And that's Matthew lining that out for us. Matthew also portrays the birth of Jesus from Joseph's perspective, which is interesting. It's not near as long, but it does portray it from the perspective of Joseph, the father of Jesus, or not the father of Jesus, however you want to look at it. But I'm going to read from Luke this morning, like I've done in the past. Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 20. See if I can make it through. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Now we have heard this and we have read this over and over. We've heard it. If you've been raised in a Christian home at all, you have heard this story read over and over, probably multiple times every year. But the fact is that it is still true today that we are celebrating the birth of our Savior. Everything that happens here was for a reason. The census that was happening that forced them to go to Bethlehem to begin with, the traveling, the baby coming, there not being any room in the inn. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and he was laying in a manger or a feed trough or whatever you want to call it. It was all for a reason. It was all predicted by prophets throughout the Old Testament that this is how he was going to come. I don't know, excuse me, if any of you have ever seen, as I was looking at this and I was thinking about how it was that Christ came and what he was trying to accomplish and the purpose and why he would choose to come this way. And I thought of the TV show that's called Undercover Boss. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but the premise of this show is that you have a company or a business, and the person that owns it goes undercover, and he gets hired on as a new hire and is working right alongside of his own employees, and they don't know who he is or her to see how his business or her business is really working. And he wants to work right alongside with these people so that he can see if they're doing the job that he or her would like them to be doing. And as I was thinking about Jesus coming as a baby, I thought about this undercover boss. And I'm like, you know what? That's exactly how Jesus came. He came undercover. And nobody recognized him. Nobody knew who he was. Nobody gave him the time of day. But that's exactly how he came. But you know what better way than to come in the way that he did? Jesus left his home in heaven to enter the world, our world that he created, in the same way that every other person entered the world. What better way would there be? It was almost like he had planned it or something, right? But what better way to enter the world, but in the same way that you and I did, and that every other person that was ever born has entered the world? Because if you want to be able to, you know, in this undercover boss TV series, the boss wanted to be able to identify with the people, and he wanted the people working for him to be able to identify with him. But if the boss is always up here, or so it appears, the people working for him maybe can never identify with him. If Jesus has always placed himself up here, are we ever truly going to be able to identify with him? And I would say the answer is probably no. But when Jesus came as a baby, and he entered the world the same way that you and I did, what better way to come? What better way to come into the world? Because otherwise, if people are expecting him, like a lot of people were, to just come in power and take over like other kingdoms had done, that's what was expected. And that's not what happened. That's what he did, but not in the way that anybody ever expected it to be. Jesus, our Savior, came in a way nobody was expecting. How could it be that the most anticipated event in biblical history was missed? How is that possible that the most anticipated, the most prophesied about, the most talked about, the most exciting event that was ever going to happen, how could it possibly have been missed? But it was. It was missed. And I like in Luke how it says that the angel then appeared to the shepherds on the hillside. I really like that. Because the shepherds were the bottom of the food chain. They were the lowliest of the low. And that's who the angels came to. And that's who God spoke to first, saying, hey, a son's been born. The Savior is here. The Lamb of God has arrived. And I always thought that was interesting. But as we look a little bit, I want to look in John chapter 1. Wrong direction. John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So even Jesus is born, that was missed by some, not by all, but it's missed by a lot. But then Jesus proceeded to grow up. He proceeded to live through all of the things that we live through today. So we know when he says he's experienced everything that we have, we know that's true because we see that he was born a baby and he lived through life, experiencing everything that we do as humans. We can relate to somebody that's lived the way that we have. We can identify with somebody. Yet Jesus, in being born, he was still fully God at the same time. The only person ever to be that. But this is our Savior that we're talking about. So even when he's walking here on the earth, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He came to his own people, the Jews, and they didn't even receive him. A couple of things that came to mind as I was looking through this, because we read this, we celebrate Christmas, we give gifts to one another. Sometimes that seems like it can get a little carried away too. But you know, ultimately it was because of the gift that Christ gave. He gave us the ultimate gift. He gave us a gift greater than anything we could have ever hoped for or imagined. When he gave us the gift of his son. We have no idea what that really truly was. So when we do give gifts, that's part of the reason why we do that. So one of the challenges that I want to throw out is as you open gifts this year, every time you open a gift, I want you to remember the ultimate gift that we were given. One gift that was given for all of us, and that's our Savior Jesus. So every time you open a gift this holiday season, I want you to remember Jesus. The gift that we were given that we didn't deserve. The gift that we were given that we could have never dreamed what that really truly meant. Especially when he came as a baby. But as we move forward, another question that comes to my mind is, are we or am I doing our job teaching the next generation about the real reason for Christmas? And every year I wonder about that. Yes, I hope so, and I believe that we are. But you look at our world and you look at how chaotic it has gotten, especially if you go into town anywhere between the 1st of December until now. It's crazy, to say the least. Why is that? It's because we're leading up to Christmas. That's why it is. And everybody's out shopping for gifts, and we have to buy something, and we have to get something, and I'm afraid that sometimes in the mix of doing all of that, we lose the vision of what we're really trying to do. Are we doing a good job teaching the next generation the reason that we celebrate Christmas? Do we take the time, do we set aside the time to take and explain what we're doing and why we're doing it? Let's not forget to pass that on, because how are they going to learn if we don't fully understand it ourselves? And how are we going to fully understand it if we don't keep going back to the Word to realize what it is that we're celebrating? We celebrate God giving us the greatest gift, greater than we could have hoped for or imagined. That's what we're celebrating tomorrow. Last week we heard from Isaac a little bit about Simeon and Anna. If you go into Luke chapter 2, farther into the chapter, these are some older people that are in the city and they're hanging around the temple, and they have been anticipating the arrival of the Savior their entire life. And they have been promised that they were going to see the Messiah before they died. Now, that takes a lot of faith, because there were generations of people that always thought the Messiah was coming in their lifetime. And he didn't come, and he didn't come, and he didn't come. But here you have Simeon and Anna both, and when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple, they were there, and they knew. Holy Spirit driven, Holy Spirit directed, there he is. There's the Messiah. What faith is that we today can read about it, and we can talk about it, and we can tell our kids about it, and we can try to understand everything we know about it, but do we have that kind of faith? Do we really treat it with the special awareness or recognition that it deserves? Where is your belief? Where is Jesus in your life? Because in the same way, a little bit, that Simeon and Anna were anticipating the arrival of the Messiah. Did they know what he might look like? No. Did they know it was going to be a baby? Doesn't really say. But when Jesus showed up at the temple that day, the Holy Spirit said, there he is. There's the Messiah. One thing that it doesn't say is it doesn't say that they said, no, there's no way that could be the Messiah. They didn't say that. When the Holy Spirit revealed to them that that's who the Messiah was, there was no questioning. That's who it is. And they believed it. Where is your belief? Where is Jesus in your life? What place does he have in your life? What part does he play in your life? Is he front and center? Is he sitting in the back seat? Is he sitting in the passenger seat? Or is he sitting in your driver's seat? Because he'll go wherever you ask him to. But if we really truly believe and understand what happened here when Jesus came to earth, and the reason that we're celebrating what we celebrate right now, we'll give him the driver's seat in our lives. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is why we celebrate. This is why we do what we do every year. And we look at it and you think, well, man, we just do the same thing every year. We start out and we celebrate Easter in April, and then we keep going and we celebrate these different things, and then we get to this time of year and we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and then next week we're just going to start the whole process over again. And you're right. But what part is Jesus playing in your life? What part is he going to play in your life more this next year than what he has this last year? The choice is yours. You get to decide. You get to choose. Jesus came to earth in the flesh to provide a way for salvation. And again, what better way to come than in the same way that everybody else ever has? So that we can fully identify with him. So that we can fully understand or know that he fully understands what we're going through. Because it's really easy sometimes to say that. If you're talking to somebody and they've not ever been through the same thing you've been through, and you can say, well, you wouldn't understand. And we can't say that to Jesus because he does understand. And yes, there's things that you've gone through that I've not gone through. And so that's fair to say that you wouldn't understand. It doesn't mean that we don't care. But we can't say that to Jesus because he does understand. He understands everything you're going through. He understands exactly right where you are today. What part is he going to play in your life? Are you going to continue to allow him to work through you? He wants that relationship with you. He wants to have that relationship, that open relationship, that communication, desires. Does he need it? No. Do we need it? Absolutely. Because I can't live without it. I don't want to live without it. I shouldn't say I can't, even though that's true. I should say I don't want to. I don't want to. Because Jesus is a friend that will never fail you. Jesus is a friend that will never let you down. When people can and will and do let us down, Jesus is the friend that does not let us down. So as we celebrate the season, as we celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Savior, as we celebrate the greatest gift that has ever been given, let's remember what we're doing. Let's remember to stop and take the time to explain it to the next generation so that they too will remember, so that when they get to that point of explaining it to the following generation, they will know what it is that they're trying to explain. Because if we don't have it, we can't teach it. So again, the challenge is every time that you open a gift, I want you to remember the ultimate gift that was given, and that's our Savior Jesus Christ. I have a group that's going to come and sing a special song if they want to come up and get ready at this time. I hope and pray that you have a blessed Christmas season, and I hope and pray that we can always remember why we celebrate, who it is that we're celebrating, and to pass that on to others. Father, thank you so much for your love this morning. I pray, Lord, that as we go from here, I pray you would guide our week. I pray that you would help us to remember the reason we celebrate. Father, help us to give you first place in our lives. Help us to allow you to be the driving force behind us. Help us to allow you to be in the driver's seat. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Book was written a long ago.
all have a Merry Christmas, and you can be dismissed.